I've only got one post-it note on it. I mean, it should probably be more like a telephone book or something. What's a telephone book, all the kids say? Sorry. You know, some would say I've drawn the shortest straw here because when Ruth said, it's 10 minutes, you're doing a kids' talk, all-age service, I thought, good, we do that each month in the kids' work, and then we can just involve the parents. But then as I began to think about it, and there's so many people here, you start getting a bit nervous and thinking, oh no, am I going to be too enthusiastic? Should I just do what I normally do with the kids? But then, of course, I don't need to worry about myself. The story sells itself. This is the greatest story, guys. Like, the best story. And our lives are saturated with great stories. In just our house, there's one person who watches many stories on YouTube on the iPad. There's a couple of adults who are following their own little stories, either through podcasts or watching series of box sets. We gather together, we all watch stories. We're all driven by these stories. They're a huge part of our life. But this story, every story finds some sort of hook in this story. It is a fantastic story. And hopefully some of that will be channeled this morning. So I've only got three things I'm going to say this morning, which I'm going to squeeze into about 5 minutes. Of course, it will run in a slightly different sense of time if you look at it using conventional laws of physics. The three things are, what happened at Easter? What does it mean? And finally, how does it link to today? So when you go out, you know, you go off to have your lunch or whatever it is you're going to do, go for a really long run, something like that. Whatever you're going to do, how does this Easter story link to us? So what happened at Easter? Now, we've got some kids at the front, we've got kids at the back. Are there any kids at the back that want to wave to me? That's it, that's good, there's a few. Oh, glad to see those hands. Right, so I'm speaking mainly to you guys and the adults and just listening. But what happened at Easter? Well, if you can remember, Jesus was killed on the cross. It was really dark. It was so dark. It was horrible. You had the worst soldiers, very muscular people who'd been eating steroids since they were babies. They were probably tough guys. They were expert executioners. And here was Jesus, this lovely guy who had been doing incredible things and so kind, so gentle. And here he was up against the worst, toughest soldiers who did their worst to him. It was dark, very dark. And on Friday, we heard about that, Matt, and we had an amazing number of readings on Friday, and I was so deeply meditating on it. My wife thought I was snoring at one moment. I wasn't. I was deeply thinking about it. Sorry to anyone else who heard that deep thinking around me. But it was incredible. So dark. But then what happened is the disciples took this wonderful person, this Jesus, and his body was taken down from the cross, and it was limp and lifeless. There was no life in him. The one who they'd been with for 3 years, they'd laughed with him, they'd eaten with him. They'd had jokes in the morning as they were going, oh, I'm a bit tired this morning. And then they'd had amazing moments with these miracles. Here was this wonderful guy. Their hearts were given to him. They loved him so much. The best friend you could ever have and wonderful to be around. And yet here he was, as they removed those nails and there was blood and this poor Jesus, they were just so despairing, and here he was taken down. Now, in the news this week, now S Club 7 may not mean much to you. It's a certain generation. But there was news about someone in a group called S Club 7 who were very big a few years ago, and one of their members died recently. Was anyone affected by that? Some people were. I'm actually too old for this. Enough said. Now, that story, that guy's family, how are they feeling about that right now? Well, it's the end of his story. Now, and many of us here who would have been to funerals or who maybe even have known someone who's passed on recently, just for a moment, remember how you felt about that. It's the end of the story. Now, this was what was written across Saturday. This is the end of the story. All that light and all that hope and all that joy, it was nothing. It was gone. There was nothing left. Where do we go now? You know, that's a real sort of damp kind of ending, and it's really sad and dark. How do I put my life together? And those of us who have been bereaved, maybe it was years ago, maybe it was recently, but what do you do? How do you get on with your life? Well, you sort of have to go step by step, but you just sort of, you think, well, I'm never going to get over it. And it may have been a long time ago, but that's it. Life is kind of busted now, and that's the end of it. Very sad. But this is not what happened at Easter, kids. This is not what happened. Now, does anyone know of Amelia Park? It's just off the back of St. Mary's School. Does anyone know that? Can I see a show of hands? Anyone been there? It's a funny little park. We call it Squirrel Hill because there's just literally a million squirrels there. My dog goes crazy when she goes over. I have to keep her on the lead. Has anyone been there recently? Have you seen the absolute explosion of daffodils? Now, I was going to put a picture up, but I think it's just go there. It was like this park, which is a nice little place to go, apart from when there's drunk people and people on drugs there, but don't worry about that. But I was walking there the other day, and I was like struck. There was this field, this little park, and suddenly there was an absolute explosion of daffodils. Something that had been under the ground, I don't know if they'd just gone out during COVID and just planted a load of, secretly at night, planted a load of daffodil bulbs or something. But just this incredible eruption of life. So many, like you almost don't want to step there because there's just this sort of, it's like nature is like kind of going, yeah, hold my beer. Look at this. You're sort of going, whoa, this is incredible. I mean, I just had to stop and take loads of photographs of it. Now, Easter is something similar to that. What was lifeless and felt a bit depressing and dark? Suddenly on Easter Sunday, on that morning, an earthquake happened. Angels were present. There were guards who were left lifeless and frightened for their lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been dead, had been carried by his own followers, limp and laid in, wrapped in cloths, put inside this borrowed grave of a rich man and sealed tight, just in case anyone nicked the body and made a story up. Here was an earthquake, and all could see that this Jesus had risen with power. And it wasn't like he'd sort of revived and come back from the dead. If you can imagine a death being like a very thick wall, and Jesus hit it head on, but in the resurrection went through it. He didn't just come back from the dead. He went through death. He broke through to the other side of death. And he didn't just come through, you know, bit bruised and stuff. He came through victorious and glorious, like that sea of daffodils at Amelia Park, which I recommend you go and see. Just for a moment, just get a sense of the contrast here. Here is this victorious king rising up, taking everything that's dead, leaving our sins behind on the cross, nailed, this innocent man taking everything that's wrong and corrupt and broken in this world and absorbing it in the toxicity of that cross, and it dying on the cross, and there his dead body placed in the tomb, and it's left there. And here is Jesus, risen from the dead. Here he comes breaking forth, leaving all that's bad behind and saying, there is a new hope, there is new life here. That's what happened on the resurrection. And it wasn't just some sort of little story. Oh, did you hear about Jesus? He got resurrected. And yeah, and there was some weird guy who told me about it down the pub. It wasn't like that. He was hanging around with the disciples for 6 weeks. The school holidays. You know how long they are, the school holidays? That was how long he was around with them. Physically with them, having barbecues on the beach, meeting with people. People doubting Thomas when all the others were saying, he's alive. Suddenly being present, saying, Thomas, come and reach in my side. And look, this is where they stuck the spear in me when the soldiers were torturing me. Here's the marks where the nails went. And Thomas is like, at first he's like, I'll believe it if I see it. And suddenly he has to fall to his knees. And he says, my Lord and my God, I cannot believe what I'm seeing, but I do because I feel it. And Jesus says, blessed are those who will believe who do not see, who do not feel. And that applies to us. So for 20 centuries, 21 centuries, this message has gone out. And people like you and I, ordinary people, have heard about this Jesus. And there's something different about it. And this is why I get into my second point, which is, what does it mean? I mean, it's a great story. Every story has something of this in it. But this is the greatest story because it's etched into history. But what does it mean? What does it mean for you and me sat here this morning? And as we go out, what does it mean? How does it link to us as well? Well, it means this. And sorry, I've got two things I'm going to say here. One is a little bit challenging and it might hurt or annoy some people here. Hey, it's me. What else are you going to get? But the other is comforting. It's kind of two sides to the same coin. The resurrection has two sides. One is very challenging. The challenging one is this. It cuts across everything that we think and we've planned for in the rudest of ways. You and I are like little kids on balance bikes going along with our little stabilizers, or balance bikes are better because they teach you certain things. I won't go into that. But there you are, you're going along and we have our plans. Oh, I'm going to go there, I'm going to go there, I'm going to go there. Or like we've got our Lego bricks and we're thinking, I'm going to make a little line. So I could put a yellow one there and I'm going to put a blue. And we're making a little line. That's our stuff. And we have an idea of what we want to do. Like maybe you've got a mortgage plan. Maybe you've had a mortgage plan. Maybe you've got a relationship you're thinking of. Maybe you're planning towards some holiday. Maybe you've got a job you're hoping for. You're saving up for something. Whatever it might be, there's all these things we have plans for. And here we are, tottering on along through life. And yet, here's the resurrection of Jesus, and it's a spanner in the works. It's like the balance bike trying to get across the A27, and here comes the heavy goods vehicle, or as my son calls it, a Panther 2 tank, which apparently can go 70 miles an hour. They're based in 1990, that's what he told me. He may have made that up, I don't know. But here we are, we're tottering along, and here's the resurrection, and it says, whatever plans you had, whatever things you'd penciled into the diary, here's God's public calendar, and it's the resurrection. And it means, it's not like the S Club 7 story where that was the end of the story. It says, God's firmly saying in history, no, that wasn't the end of the story of the cross. Here's the next part. Oh, and by the way, there's a future date. In Acts chapter 17, the great apostle Paul says, God has raised the judge from the dead. The one who will judge all things, living and who've died and who are alive, he has raised him from the dead. There's only one person who's qualified to assess our lives, the one who has lived our life. He is the one who can fully sympathize and empathize with the stuff you're going through. He has been risen from the dead. And here he is. And it's like our plans, like our little Lego blocks, but a tank has just driven across it. Now, that's quite challenging. Now, someone might be here for whom Jesus, you sort of think, yeah, I'm into Jesus, or I go along to church, or maybe you've never been here before and someone's invited you, or you might be listening to this online. You might be thinking, yeah, if I want to be a Christian, I get a nice Christian-shaped Lego block and I put it on top of all of my other Lego blocks, and maybe I get one and put it really prominently, like a nice yellow one or something. No, Jesus isn't just a prominent Lego block on top of our Lego blocks. The whole thing has to be scrapped. Here's something deeper. The resurrection says the entire way we frame our lives, everything we're living for, is essentially being replaced. Now, that is a hard message, and it is the Christian message, and it's saying, where are you hoping to plan your life? What's the mechanism of your life? Well, here's the spanner in the works. It's the resurrection. And if it happened, as Christians are convinced it did, then you've got serious questions to ask about your life. All of us have. But there's a comforting side to the other part of the coin. I say that as Ruth's heart looks like it's maybe sinking because I might be going on too long. So I'm going to finish with this. And it's this. Think about the balance bike. There's us wobbling along on our little bikes. Here's us shakily putting those Lego bricks down with our little developing motor skills of life. Here we are. We're building our lives. But of course, there are many in this room for whom building our lives is a real issue. Because we get in the way of it. Or other things get in the way of it. Or catastrophe happens. Or sometimes you wake up so depressed and you say, I cannot do this. I'm my own worst enemy. Or someone else is my own worst enemy. Or I'm enslaved to something. I just cannot break free from this. Life does not work for me. And here's the reassuring thing of the resurrection. It's Jesus saying, okay, there's your weak hands on the steering wheel. There's your weak hands placing those little Lego bricks, trying to push them, and then you're shaking. But here are the hands of the risen King holding the steering wheel of the universe and saying, no, you don't need to be in charge here. I'm in charge. When Jesus rose in Matthew's gospel, and we're going to get to the end of Matthew's gospel in about 7 years, but let me just get to the last verse and just give you a slight cheat sort of ending. He says this, at the end of the resurrection, he said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. That means my hands are on the steering wheel now. I'm steering this. Think about that. 2 days earlier, his body was being carried down from a cross. It had nothing in it. He couldn't do any sit-ups, nothing. He couldn't do, like, whatever, park run or what those gym lads who are down the park with the commando trainer. He couldn't. He would just be lying there like a corpse, like this, going... He wouldn't even do that noise. He'd just be there. And here he is, 3 days later, risen from the dead, the one whose hands are on the steering wheel of the universe. And you and I, when life gets broken, and you might be at this situation at this moment this morning, you might be saying, Lord, or whoever's out there, I don't even know you yet. My life isn't working. I can't really, I'm trying hard to make something of it, but I just find it so hard. Well, here's the resurrection. Let the comfort of Jesus, the risen King, step into your lives and say, by the power of the Holy Spirit flooding into your life, receive that comfort. Could it be that you become a Christian today or go away from the kind of Christianity which is, I'll put Jesus as a new Lego block? No, no, scrap the Lego blocks. Let's receive from the resurrection of Jesus. And what does it mean to us today? How does it link to us today? Well, it's this. To be a Christian is to be risen with Christ. There's Superman. Superman, the Superman, Jesus, rising from the grave. And who are we? We're Velcroed to the back of his cape. Okay, someone said to me, Velcro's not very good. It sounds like it will come off. Okay, we're bonded. We're super glued to his cape. To be a Christian is to be united with Christ. As he rises, we died with him, our sins died with him, we rose with him. And it means this, that to become a Christian, God does something in your life. He takes your spirit, your soul, and he gives you a new being, a new DNA. You're united. Something fundamentally changes in your life. You become risen with Christ. Now, what does that look like? And this really is what I want to finish on today. And we're going to have a couple of moments for you to reflect on this before Matt will come and pray at the end. What does it look like to be a resurrection person? What does that look like? It might be, well, actually, it doesn't look like much. It looks very ordinary. It might be there's someone here who's a full-time carer. It might be there's someone here who is enduring one of the most annoying jobs ever. It might be someone here who's heartbroken. Being someone who's risen with Jesus can mean a world of difference. It might not look much to other people. It might simply be that you become someone who has something of deep patience because you have hope within you that this resurrection is true and your life is changed. Now, may this resurrection, may the risen, crucified but now risen and ascended Jesus step into your life and help you live as a resurrection Christian so that your life has that quality where you might feel like giving up, but really there's someone greater than us who loves us, destroyed our Lego bricks but put something way better in its place. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing like this message, guys. Nothing. Nowhere. You will get this nowhere else. The foundation, no other foundations go deeper than this. No one has conquered death, and Jesus has done it so that today you can face the sad lives that we have and the sad world we have with a sense of hope that God's calendar is yet to be fulfilled and eternal life doesn't start then when you're dead. It starts now, today. Isn't that amazing? A quality of that life now. Let's have a couple of minutes before Matt comes to pray. And just for a moment, ask yourself, how is this resurrection life going to apply to my life today, specifically your life? And Matt, if you can earth it, thank you.